conference. Mother's Day, a day to celebrate mothers. Opportunity to remember our mothers, and even for some of us, maybe to spend time with our mothers today. God has promoted some of our great mothers and grandmothers in this congregation to glory this past year. We think of Gladys Back, Mary Kennedy, and most recently, Nora Fitton. We will miss them deeply. Ray, one of Nora's sons, said his earliest remembrance of his mother was her leading him to Christ at the age of 5 in their apartment in London, England, many years ago. Thank you for mothers who have provided some spiritual direction to their children and expressed their love for the Lord to their children over the years. I love to preach on Mother's Day. Don't often get an opportunity to do that. But most mothers come with a smile on their faces and gratitude in their hearts. They either are thinking of their mothers and the wonderful relationship they've had with them, or they've had the privilege of being able to have children, and children are a gift from God. I have very fond memories of my mother, and I hope to see her. My problem is I'm supposed to see her at 1 o'clock for lunch in Milton, and I think that's going to be a little tight. What do you think? She's always been there for us as a family. She, like so many mothers and grandmothers, has an open door policy, so you can drop in at any time. One of the exciting things about my mother is she's still growing in her relationship with the Lord. She doesn't see herself as to have attained in terms of that relationship. She still prays for people. She still thinks about people and ministers to people. And that's wonderful to see that. Someone has said, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. You're probably all agreeing with that, aren't you? There's some real truth to that. The words in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 challenge us to honor our fathers and mothers. And God even couches this command around the promise of wellness and longevity. I realize for some, Mother's Day brings mixed emotions. Because sometimes past wounds, painful memories come up related to mothers or relationships that we may have with our children. My word to each one of us today is this. Jesus wants to be your shepherd. He wants to lead you in green pastures and beside quiet waters. He's willing to pour the oil of healing into your life. So if you're struggling a little bit with Mother's Day today, for whatever reason, may the Great Shepherd come close to you and minister to you in this day. I'd like to focus our attention on three women in the Bible, all who have the first name of Mary. Now, we probably could focus on some of the women in the congregation here at Markham, because there are some women who are certainly worth honoring, isn't there, in our congregation. But I must confess, your names aren't specifically in Scripture, and I'm supposed to be preaching from the Word of God, so those in your family can talk to you about all the things that they've learned from you and are blessed by in terms of relationship with you. There's actually as many Marys mentioned in the New Testament as there are Jims in our congregation. Two of the better-known Marys we're not going to look at today. Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast 7 devils. And then Mary of Bethany. I was almost going to preach on Mary of Bethany, but I have a little bit of difficulty. The difficulty is that the Scripture doesn't tell me whether those two Marys were mothers. So certainly Mary of Bethany, just before Jesus was to die, sacrificially anointed him for his burial with that wonderful perfume. And I almost shared that passage with you today. But I'm going to share instead about three other Marys. Each of them, I want to just share one primary characteristic about them. And the first one, and I believe you have it in your handout sheets there, so you can follow along, and I will try to do my best. I think the last time I preached, I didn't give you all the names to put in the blanks, so I'll try my best to do that. I sometimes wander a little bit from what I have in front of me and aren't as clear as Pastor David at making sure that you have them filled up. Now, I think they've got them on the PowerPoint, so you're probably okay from that perspective today. But the first one I want to look at is Mary, who's the mother of James and Joseph. And I want to read to you from Mark chapter 15, and just a few verses. This passage comes right at the time in which Jesus died. In verse 37, it says, "With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.' Some women were watching from a distance. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger and of Joses, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there." This woman's ministry was characterized by labor, toiling for the master. Notice in this passage that she had began that ministry in Galilee and had come to the feasts to Jerusalem and was still there ministering with others to the needs of Jesus and his disciples. She loved Jesus supremely. In Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, the scripture says that some of these women from Galilee had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Now, it mentions Mary Magdalene, it mentions a friend of Mary, it mentions Joanna, the wife of the household manager of Herod's household, and Susanna, and it says many others. Possibly, this Mary had been healed or cured. Certainly, many of her friends have been healed or cured by the Lord Jesus. What motivates us to love and then to labor for Jesus? Some of you have possibly experienced the healing touch of the Lord in your life. And as you think back to that, that becomes a wonderful motivating factor for you in terms of serving the Lord. For many of you, it's the transformation of life. You gave your life to Christ and the Spirit of God began that transforming of our life because the Spirit of God wants us to become more and more like the Lord Jesus. It could have been your witnessing a family member or a friend or a relative being transformed by the power of God. I had a senior pastor that I worked with for a number of years, and one of the motivations that he had for loving and serving the Lord was he bargained with God. I don't know whether any of you have done that. He had ejected from a plane over the Pacific, was plummeting down towards earth, and his chute wasn't opening, and he bargained with God, "If you save my life, I will serve you forever." And he did. He served him for the rest of his life. Some of you might know his name. His name is Dr. Alf Rees. Certainly, one of the motivating factors for us to love and to labor for the Lord is that personal experience of receiving forgiveness of sin from him, receiving his salvation and the promise of eternal life now in heaven in the future. Mary's labor grew out of her love for Jesus. Also mentions in Scripture, farther on in Mark chapter 15, that only Mary Magdalene and this Mary stayed and saw where Jesus's body was buried. So it's kind of interesting from that perspective. As morning dawns, the two Marys and Salome, the mother of James and John, in their labor of love and their desire to honor the body of Christ, prepared spices and perfume. Now John tells us that Joseph of Arimathea had prepared the body with something like 75 to 100 pounds of spices and linens. But nothing was going to stop these women from expressing their love to the Lord early that Sunday morning. In Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 10, we find out that this Mary saw two angels. She experienced the opportunity of observing the tomb. She had the opportunity of witnessing to the disciples that Jesus was no longer dead and buried, but that he had risen from the dead. Now, the disciples weren't always too receptive to the words of the women. They had to go and see for themselves. But Mary had that opportunity of experiencing that resurrection morning and talking and seeing the angels and talking to the disciples. It's believed in Romans chapter 16, verse 6, that Paul gives us just a little insight into this lady. They believe that the one he talked about was this Mary, the Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. And it said, "Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you." So here we have a mother who's characterized by labor and love for her Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for people who use their gifts and their abilities to serve our Savior. The second Mary I want us to look at today is the mother of John Mark. And I just want to read a little passage to you from Acts chapter 12. This is actually the only place that Mary's mentioned, although Mary does have her fingerprints in many other places of Scripture. But this Mary's only mentioned by name in Acts chapter 12. I'm going to just read a few verses starting at verse 11. "Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating.' When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, 'Peter is at the door.'" This Mary is the aunt of Barnabas, who was on the first missionary journey with the Apostle Paul. It seems that she was a wealthy widow who had a home in Jerusalem. And it seems that she used her resources as the church in Jerusalem saw fit. She was very gracious and generous with her facilities that she had. We realize as we look into the book of Acts that many people sold properties because after Pentecost to be able to meet the needs of actually thousands of new Christians who had been converted at Pentecost, some of which had come great distances even from other countries. Mary wasn't one of those who sold her property. What she did is she instead kept her place and in a sense it became the headquarters for the church in Jerusalem. When Peter in Acts chapter 12 was miraculously delivered from prison by an angel, he automatically went where? He went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. And in verse 5 it says of chapter 12, "But the church was earnestly praying to God for Peter." Mary loved to open her home for prayer. Many believe that the Last Supper took place in her home. The Pentecost prayer meeting in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 may have taken place in her upper room as well. Can you just imagine? Here she is, a woman who has a home, and she's experienced the Last Supper by opening her home, the whole Pentecost experience, and here now in Acts chapter 12, the experience of the miraculous delivery of Peter. Mary's life and ministry was characterized by earnest prayer and being willing to share her home with other people of like mind who wanted to come before God on behalf of the needs of others. On Mother's Day, mothers often count their blessings, one of which is how well their children have turned out spiritually in other ways. So we think over the lives of our children, and we thank the Lord for some of the ways that the Lord has been working in the lives of our children. Mary constantly had spiritual leaders in that early church time in her home. John Mark was the recipient of all of these leaders. It was a great source of joy for Mom to know that John Mark was wanting to serve the Lord. He went out and took part in at least the first half of that first missionary journey. He had Paul and Barnabas as his mentors and coaches. Later on, his traveling companion was Peter. Can you imagine having Peter and Barnabas and Paul as your mentors and spiritual developers? What a wonderful privilege this young man, John Mark, had. I know Paul was upset with him and wouldn't allow him to go on the second missionary journey. But at the end of Paul's life, Paul specifically mentions John Mark. John Mark came through strong in his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's actually the author of the book of Mark in our New Testament. Thank you, Lord, for godly praying mothers who often are behind some of the great spiritual leaders, not only in scripture days, but down through the centuries of time. Are you praying for your children? Don't just pray for them for protection from difficulties, but pray that God will develop their character through the experiences of life. Pray that God will use your children mightily in kingdom work. I sometimes pray and say, Lord, use my boys in a greater way than you could ever use me. And you know, maybe he will. Maybe he already has. Pray that God's will be accomplished in their lives, that they'll be sensitive to him in every way and be willing to be led by the Spirit of God and used by the Spirit of God. So our second Mary is a mother of prayer. Our third Mary is probably the Mary that you know the most and is mentioned in the Scripture. It's Mary, the mother of Jesus. One could spend a lot of time talking about this Mary, but I only want to just express briefly and characterize her by the quality of love. Our first glimpse into Mary's life, we find that she has submitted herself to the work of the Holy Spirit. Her virgin body became a channel for the Son of God to enter into this world. We find that in Luke chapter 1, verses 35 and 38. The words of the angels was this: the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. I'm amazed and encouraged by Mary's response. I am the Lord's servant. Right away, positively saying to the angel, I'm willing to be used by you in whatever way. I'm willing to be the Lord's servant. I had Rob Young read Mary's song in Luke chapter 1. It's a beautiful song that Mary sang or wrote in a poetic way. But it expresses one thing that's really critical that I want to mention to you. And that is what your second point is there. Mary made this statement that God is my Savior. When you drive down the hill from where we stayed in El Salvador, you come back around and you cross over a bridge. Right at the bridge going into San Vicente is a huge statue of the Virgin Mary. Mary would not agree to having statues placed in different parts of the world where people worship her. I remember clearly in Manila, after the fall of Marcos, they attributed the fall of Marcos to praying to Mary. And they had a huge statue on the main street of Mary. And they gave praise to Mary because she was the one that caused Marcos to be dethroned. If Mary were here with us today, she would sit at the Lord's table with us. And she would be in partnership and fellowship with us, thanking God for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to be our Savior and her Savior too. Mary proved her love by her faithfulness. She was there at the cross. John chapter 19, verse 15 mentions that. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother with three other women there for support. A mother's love was greater than the danger of her presence there at the foot of the cross. Often the anger of a crowd expands to include the whole family. And Jesus was viewed by those, certainly the majority of those that were there watching him on the cross. He was viewed as a blasphemer and an enemy of God. The affection and the love of the elder son, Jesus, in making sure that someone would look after Mary, given that responsibility to John, was very touching in that scene. But at the end of the Gospels, we don't see the end of the ministry of Mary. We see Mary in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says, Mary and her other sons were found as members of the Jerusalem church, constantly in prayer, waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon the church. So in Acts chapter 1, we find Mary in this upper room, maybe with her friend Mary, the mother of John Mark. Her other sons had a change in how they viewed Jesus over this period of time. They were there with their mother, praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of what God was going to be doing in the future, in the lives, their lives, and the lives of the church. So we've looked at three Marys. All are different and gifted in different ways. All express their service and their love for the Lord Jesus. The question I leave with you is this. How would others describe your life? How would others describe your life? Would they say, her life is a life of service and labor for the Master? Her love for the Lord is contagious and overflows like perfume when we're in her presence. Might they say, I depend so much on my mother for her prayers, her relationship with the Lord, her ability to get through on my behalf? It maybe a life just characterized by love for Jesus as Savior. In a world where mothers are often tired, I hear work 93 hours per week and should earn $35,000 or $153,000 per year. How can they retain the passion for Christ and the energy to minister to family and to neighbors? How many of you mothers have ever felt tired? How many of you mothers ever felt that you'd never be able to get through your to-do list in a day? You know, I believe as we come to the Lord's table that our reflection on the Lord Jesus is one of the keys, I think, to our ministry on His behalf. As we reflect on the cost borne by our Savior, the theme of our assembly was ransom is a costly price. I believe the Spirit of God has the ability to energize us, give us the rest that we need. So we look at Matthew 11:28, the yoke that Jesus says He gives to us is easy. He gives us rest. He can energize us by His Spirit to be able to accomplish those things that God has for us. And I know at times mothers can feel chronically tired and wonder, where will I ever get the energy to do what God has for me to do today and tomorrow? Father, we've looked at three mothers, and each of them are worth honoring today. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who is worthy to be served as Lord and Master. Speak to our hearts as we come to His table today. We pray in Your name. Amen. I'm going to ask those who are going to join with us in serving communion to come forward at this time.